It's good to see everyone out on such a nice day. Ring, ring. Hello. Who is there? We get many calls during the day. They come on the telephone. They come as a knock on the door. They come as a letter or an email. They come in many different sizes and shapes in life. Well, a young businessman had just started his own firm. He rented a beautiful office and had it furnished with antiques. He wanted to look like he was a successful businessman. He wanted to look like he could really get the job done for his clients. Sitting there, he saw a man come into the outer office. Wishing to appear busy, he picked up the phone and pretended to be talking to someone about some big deal, throwing around figures and numbers and making grand gestures and commitments about what he was going to do. Finally, he hung up the phone and says, "Sorry to keep you waiting. Can I help you?" The man said, "Sure. I've come to install the phone." It's important to actually have a line of communication going between you and God, and hopefully with other people too. They can only come if we learn about it from His Word. A little girl came home from school and said to her mother, "Mommy, today in school I was punished for something I didn't do." The mother exclaimed, "Well, that's terrible. I'm going to have a talk with your teacher about this. Oh, by the way, what is it that you didn't do?" The little girl replied, "My homework." You know, we can't know what God wants from each of us unless we answer that call and listen to the caller. The big question is, who is calling today for us? Hopefully, it's God calling for us and not the world. If you would, turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Samuel. We're going to be looking at the 5th chapter and the first 12 verses of that chapter. This is the story of how David assumed the position as king of Israel and how he moved the capital to Jerusalem. It tells us about the call of God on the life of David. Israel had been engulfed in a civil war. King Saul was dead. And the last of his surviving relatives, Ish-Boeth, was fighting David and his army for control of Israel. In chapter 4, we find out that Ish-Boeth dies, leaving David, the man of the hour, to rule Israel. We find out several things about the call of God in David's life. The first is that God did call him, just as He calls us today. Some 20 or so years earlier, God had chosen David to be king of Israel. To understand the process, we must first understand the events behind Israel getting a king in the first place. When God delivered the nation of Israel from slavery in Egypt, He was going to be their king. God would be the king of Israel. For a long time, that was the case. They had judges who discerned civil matters and disputes between people. But they wanted a king, just like every other nation around them. They looked around and saw these mighty kings who, I guess we'd equate with celebrities today, and they wanted to have just what those other people had. See, they weren't content with having God as their king. We have something similar. We today look to Jesus Christ in heaven as our Lord and Savior, and God is the ultimate king and leader of this universe, with, as we're instructed in Timothy and other places in the Bible, the elders would discern the matters between the people, just as the judges would. Very similar. But they wanted a king. Saul went along. He went further and further away from God. He did not follow God. And many of the kings were bad kings, just like that, who either their arrogance, through the power they had, were led steadily away from God. Then in 1 Samuel 16, we find that the prophet Samuel goes out and anoints David as king of Israel. The only problem is, Saul is still alive. So how do you replace the king that's sitting there already? So God called David. In 1 Samuel 16, we can read the account of how Samuel, under the direction of God, chose David to be king. In the next chapter, we find David fighting with Goliath. God had called David to be king, but he had to wait 20 years before actually taking the throne. Saul knew his days were numbered, and he tried to kill David on several occasions. That's almost like Herod trying to kill all the children of the male children under two in order to get rid of Jesus, who was the Messiah. It amazes me how people can try to thwart God's plans, can try to do something that'll usurp God's plans. And you cannot usurp God's plans. But every people today try to usurp God's plans. They try to find out their own way. They try to make ways to appease their minds that they'll get to heaven just by being a good person or anything like that. They try to find ways to change God's plans. And Saul was not any different then. He tried to have David killed on several occasions. Many of the Psalms that we read come from David being chased by his pursuers to try to kill him. David, though he had the utmost respect for King Saul, he knew that God had placed a call on his life, and he was patient to wait for God's timing. We see that the leaders of Israel said in verse 2 of our passage, "It was you who led us out and brought in Israel." David had been a great warrior and leader during the times that Israel was having skirmishes with their neighbors. Verse 10 tells us, "And David became greater and greater for the Lord, for God of hosts, who was with him." God placed his call on the life of David, and he remained in him. Let's look in our chapter verses here, in chapter 5, verse 1 of 2 Samuel. "Then all the tribes of Israel came to David at Hebron and said, 'Behold, we are your bone and your flesh. Previously, when Saul was king over us, you were the one who led Israel out and in. And the Lord said to you, "You will shepherd my people Israel, and you will be a ruler over Israel." So all the elders of Israel came to the king of Hebron, and King David made a covenant with them before the Lord of Hebron. Then they anointed David king over Israel. David was 30 years old when he became king, and he reigned 40 years. At Hebron, he reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months, and in Jerusalem, he reigned 39 years over all Israel and Judah. Now the king and his men went into Jerusalem against the Jebusites, the inhabitants of the land, and they said to David, "You shall not come in here, but the blind and lame shall turn you away, thinking, 'David cannot enter here.' Nevertheless, David captured the stronghold of Zion," that is, the city of David. "And David said on that day, 'Whoever would strike the Jebusites, let him reach the lame and the blind, who are hated by David's soul, through the water tone. Therefore, they say, the blind or the lame shall not come into the house.' So David lived in the stronghold and called it the city of David. And David built all around from the millow and inward. And David became greater and greater, for the Lord God of hosts were with him. And Hiram, king of Tyre, sent messengers to David with cedar trees and carpenters and stonemasons, and they built a house of David. And David realized that the Lord had established him as king over Israel, and that he had exalted his kingdom for the sake of his people Israel." So God called David, and God calls us. Like David, God also places a call on our life. Who at the door is knocking? Will he knock and no one answers? Like I mentioned earlier, we're called to do several things. We're called to repent. We're called to change our lives. We're called to obey. And we're called to help others find God and learn of his word and do those things. So we're called in many ways just as the way David was. Just as he was called to be a king, we're called to be a royal priesthood, as we learn in the Bible. But sometimes we have to struggle with ourselves before we can embrace God's call in our lives. Sometimes we're not wanting to answer that door. You ever have someone you just didn't get along with or couldn't stand or something like that, and when they knocked on the door, you just wanted not to go and answer that door. You wanted to remain as quiet so that maybe they would go away or something like that. But sometimes we do that with God Himself. Sometimes we don't answer that call. Maybe we're afraid of what it's going to require of us, or something like that, or what's going to happen to us if we answer that call. But God calls each and every one of us to something. All of Israel recognized a call on David's life, as we just read. When the leaders of Israel assembled at David's headquarters, they acknowledged that David was God's chosen king. And the Lord said to you in the end of verse 2, you shall be shepherd over my people, and you shall be prince over Israel. They recognized that, and that God had empowered him to be a mighty warrior, and he did great things for them. So the elders in verse 3 of Israel came to the king at Hebron, and King David made a covenant with them at Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel. God and Samuel had anointed David king before, but he had to wait that amount of time. And sometimes, if we answer God's call, we have to learn what God wants of us, and sometimes that does take time. Sometimes that call on us does not require an immediate action, but it requires us to maybe answer God's call and maybe learn from Him and grow in Him and then take our place there. But each and every one of us as Christians need to know that God is calling us today. So we as a church recognize that we're called to be God's chosen people. Just as He was chosen to be king, we are chosen to be His on earth. The call of God has power. When we are in the center of God's will, we have power from Him. God does not leave us out there alone by our own, but gives us the power through Him to do the things He wants us to do. When we are where God calls us to be, we have the power from Him, and we can see God's power exercised in our life. It's an unmistakable thing. Each and every one of you can point to events, and I can point to events where God has moved in our lives and helped us out and given us comfort and aid and helped us over infirmaries that someone may have had that we prayed for in our own lives that we have, and that we recovered from them maybe better than most people do, and that God was with us. David conquered the Jebusites. Israel had never conquered the city of Jerusalem. A group of people called the Jebusites occupied the city. When the nation of Israel went in to occupy the land, they kicked out several groups of people who were there. We know that they came and pushed people out of the land that they were to take over, that God had given them. We read about that in the book of Joshua. They kicked out the Amalekites and all the other ites people out there who were occupying that land. Now, this wasn't to be mean, but these people had the obligation to know God and obey Him, and they had. And God's judgment on them was for them to lose their land. And His chosen people took that land. The Jebusites had managed to hold on to the city of Jerusalem, though. Tooth and nail, they fought and kept the kingdom of Israel from taking over what would become their own capital. David made it known that he was going to conquer Jerusalem. The Jebusites knew that any army could not penetrate their fortress. They failed to realize that David's army had God on their side, the power of God with them. They taunted by David by saying, "The blind and the lame are going to chew you off." You know, we could tie, in other words, like we might say, we could tie one hand behind my back and I could still beat you. I could be blindfolded and still beat you. They were saying, even our poor lame and blind people are going to cast you out, you know, are going to repel you when you try to come and take over. David was used to impossible challenges, and he was used to being helped out by God, as we read about in Psalms, who he trusted. When David had faced the mighty giant Goliath with a sling, Goliath taunted him and said, "Am I a dog that you come at me with sticks? Are you coming to beat me like a dog with a stick?" Goliath said. He laughed at him. Just a mere youth, much smaller than his giant stature. He was used to being underestimated, and the Jebusites had underestimated him. And he conquered their stronghold. We too can conquer with God's power. We can be as successful as David and his power. What strongholds do you face in your life? What things do you need to conquer? What insurmountable obstacles lay in your way to accomplish the will of God and answer that call in your life that He has on you? Have you ever seen God move in a supernatural way in your life to change things? He's done it once. He's done it twice. He's done it 100 times. And I believe in my life, He's going to keep moving those things out of the way. And whatever He wants me to do, I'm going to conquer. And you probably have that inside of you. You know that God has helped you out. You know that He's got you where you're at today. Not through your own will, but because of His will. And He's going to carry you that whole way. And He's going to help you that whole way. Whatever God wants us to do in life, we're capable of doing it. We're capable of doing it because He empowers us. When we are in the center of God's will, we use His power to help us overcome those things and stuff. I know I've quoted it before, but at the eve of the Civil War, one of the confidants of Abraham Lincoln went to him and said, "I certainly hope that God is on our side." And Abraham Lincoln looked back at him and said, "No, I hope that we are on God's side." God has a purpose and a will for each and every one of us here. Something that we can do in our lives to grow. We naturally have an obligation to read His Word and study, to learn more about Him. When we learn about God, we begin to think like Him. And we think less about the world. And we see things through God's eyes. And we start to understand those things. And we can see and feel a purpose in our lives, the tug that tells us there's something I can be doing for God. There's something I can be doing for God. And sometimes we don't know exactly what it is, but seek it out. Follow it. Find out what we can do for God in our lives. It doesn't mean that it's always going to be easy. David had his struggles. He had to fight to take over Jerusalem. He had to run and hide and fight Saul and the armies. And nothing comes that easy. It's not, as they say, going to just fall in our lap. It's not going to fall down like the manna fell down from the sky for the Israelites to eat. But there's something God wants us to do. And there's something He wants us to be doing in our lives for His kingdom. We need to seek it out. And it may be that we have to put up a fight against, you know, even our own feelings about maybe not wanting to do it. Or maybe giving over completely to God's will and letting Him work in our lives. But if we recognize that He does want us to do something, and if we recognize that He is going to comfort us and give us the strength and guidance through His Word and through prayer to accomplish those things, we can have the knowledge and the faith that He is going to carry us through. You know, this morning, just as David, God calls us. He calls others. The call of God has power. It's not empty pleas from God, but it's powerful messages to us. And He has the power to help us do it. What is God calling you and me to do today? God may be calling you to deepen your relationship with Him. He may be calling you to a greater service with Him. He may be calling you to renew a broken relationship with Him. God's calls on our lives is as real today as it's ever been. As real as David's call was. It's as real as that. Listen to God. Our choice is clear. Either we can listen to His call for us, or we can turn our back on Him and not listen. We can not answer the telephone. We cannot respond to an email. We cannot answer the door. But if it's God or Jesus at the door, do we want to answer it? Do we want to answer our Lord King? I think we do. And be patient. It may take a while for God to find out what our life is going to be like with Him. You know, be patient with me. I'm still growing up, as someone might say. You know, a child coming home from his first day at school, and his mother asked him, "What did you learn today?" The child replied, "Not enough. I got to go back tomorrow." You know, we can have the assurance that we are following the call of God in our life. Verse 12 tells us, "And David knew that the Lord had established him as king over Israel, and that he had exalted his kingdom for the sake of the people, Israel today." But it was 20 years and a long process that David had to go through before he finally became king. Don't expect to know what God